Saturday, November 30th, the Feast of St. Andrew. First reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 18. Brothers and sisters, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame." There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." But not everyone has heeded the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what was heard from us?" Thus faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Certainly they did, for their voice has gone forth to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Haydock Commentary. To confess the Lord Jesus and to call upon the name of the Lord is not barely the professing of a belief in the person of Christ, but moreover implies a belief of his whole doctrine and an obedience to his law, without which the calling of him Lord will save no man. This passage must be understood like many others of this apostle, of a faith accompanied by a good will ready to perform what faith says must be practiced, as it is required in this very verse that what we believe in the heart we should confess with our mouth. Regarding verse 14, "How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" he shows the necessity of preachers, and that all true preachers must be sent and have their mission from God. Regarding verse 15, "And how can people preach unless they are sent?" here is an evident proof against all new teachers who have all usurped to themselves the ministry without any lawful mission, derived by succession from the apostles, to whom Christ said, "As my Father hath sent me, I also send you." The Almighty sends people to preach two different ways. The one is extraordinary by internal inspiration, as was that of John the Baptist and all the other prophets. In these cases, however, extraordinary proofs must be given that they are sent by God. The other way is ordinary, which is derived from Christ and from the apostles and their successors, whom he has appointed to be his vice-regents on earth. Regarding verse 18, "But I ask, did they not hear?" he puts an objection, and by his answer shows the Jews are inexcusable in not believing, since the gospel has been preached all the world over and in places where the Jews were, as it was foretold, and also because the Gentiles everywhere have believed, which even excites Jews to jealousy against them, as Moses foretold. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Haydock Commentary. Jesus wished not only to prove that the establishment of his religion was heavenly, but also to humble the pride of man, and therefore he did not choose orators and philosophers, but fishermen. If we compare what is related by the evangelists as to the time that St. Peter and St. Andrew became Christ's disciples, we shall find Andrew, who had been a disciple of St. John the Baptist, to have brought to Christ his brother Simon. See John chapter 1, verse 40. But at that time they did not stay with him so as to become his disciples and remain with him as they afterwards did by quitting their boat, their nets, their fishing, and all they had in the world, which is here related. In saying, "I will make you fishers of men," Christ here makes an allusion to the prior occupation of his apostles. David in his Psalms makes similar allusions to his former occupation of shepherd. See Psalm 77, verse 70. "He took him from the flocks of sheep, he brought him from following the ewes big with young, to feed Jacob his servant and Israel his inheritance." It was objected by the ancient enemies of Christianity, Porphyrius, Julian the Apostate, and others, that Christ chose for his apostles simple and ignorant men, easy to be imposed upon, and not such as would have been on their guard against deception, thus converting that into an argument against the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which of all other circumstances most solidly and forcibly establishes its divinity and authority. If Christ had persuaded the ignorant apostles only, there might be some room for such an argument. But if these 12 ignorant men triumphed over the learning, the eloquence, the sophisms of the philosophers themselves, over the strong arm of power in the hands of tyrants, and finally over the devils and passions of men, which were the last to give up the combat against a doctrine that established itself on their ruin, then we may conclude with St. Paul that it was wisdom in God to choose the weak things of this world to confound the strong, the foolish and the things that are not to confound those which are.